Would you turn your Bible to Exodus 8? Compromise is a bait that dangles in front of believers' eyes almost nonstop by Satan and his cohort. It blocks the clear view of consequences that are caused by the biting the bait. Let me make it very clear to you. Temptation, bait itself, is not sin. You hear me? Biting the bait, compromising, is the sin. Satan will also promise you the seemingly easy way and popularity instead of our godly, moral, ethical, and spiritual value. He would say, we are not backsliding, just reprioritizing a few things in our life. Sure, that makes sense, right? No, it doesn't. We will go over 8 plagues that God is going to dispatch to Pharaoh because of his hardened heart in chapter 8 through 11. So it's going to take about 5 hours. You all brought the lunch, right? No, it's going to take a little bit longer. During this period of these plagues, Egypt went from the superpower kingdom to the wasteland. You will see what kinds of disaster, you already know this, what kinds of disaster they are going to go through. Because one person had hardened the heart against God. Don't ever think that your sin will not affect your family members and your loved ones. It will. You hear me? Even if the small sin, some people say that pornography is a victimless sin. You're kidding. It is not. Each plague was against the different God of Egypt. Thousands of temples and millions of idols, about 3,000 gods in the land. This is the battle between the one true holy God and the idols, thousands of idols. And they are nothing more than minions of Satan. To expose them who they are, and they are nothing more than idols and cannot do anything for the followers. We are not going to read the entire 3 chapters, so relax. But we are going over we are going to hit the highlights, each plague. We'll start at the chapter 8, verse 1. Before we go there, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise your holy name. You gave us this country that was founded by the godly people, yet we turn away from you. I put this blame on the Christian pastors who did not teach their congregation to fear God. In turn, the congregation strayed from you, and they walked away from you. And now, this is the consequences we are paying for. We do not know what is going to happen next few weeks, but you know exactly what is going to happen. You are still on the throne. You never lost your control, and never will. Father, we are asking you to guide us through this study. There are a lot of things that we need to learn from you through this word. Father, anoint our heart that we may understand your truth and glean wisdom from you. And Father, asking your anointing upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. And Father, we pray for this. Pray that this coronavirus to be eradicated completely. And Father, we pray for President Trump and that he may do everything right in your sight. And we're lifting up the election result to you. And we also pray for our uniformed personnel, our troops, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters. We're asking you to protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with the frogs. So the river shall bring forth a frog abundantly, and which shall go up and come into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed, into your house of your servant and on your people, into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. and the frog shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Stop there, please. I was told that the most beautiful temple in Memphis is the temple of the Heka, H-E-K-A. It's a big, ugly frog-head goddess. It was an offense to kill a frog. Like in India, you are not supposed to kill bull. There's no such a thing as a ribeye steak in that country. What a horrible life, right? Can you imagine having Kermit the Frog everywhere you turn? Waking up in the morning, you see this slimy green thing staring at you while he's sitting on your pillow. And you open up your microwave oven, there is a sitting inside. You cannot go turn any direction without the frog. And probably you're trying to eat something from the cereal box, there's a rabbit and popping out. As the creator of the universe, he does not need angelic army to make the Egyptian get on their knees. He just needs a simple frog in his hand to use him to defeat this Pharaoh. Go down to verse 8, please. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." When the Pharaoh said this, I do not believe that he had any intention to let the people go. He thought that he could deceive the God of Israel. That's what sin does to us. It deceives and being deceived. All the while, we somehow think that God does not have a focused idea about our sins. Do you believe that? Do you think that God does not know your pet sin? Surprise, he does. You know, most secret sin on earth is a wide open scandal in heaven. Count on it. Now that was the second plague. Now we see the third plague in verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land." Note that, strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice, not rice, lice, throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with the rod and struck the dust of the earth. It became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Geb, G-E-B, it spells, G-E-B is the Egyptians' earth god. They have a god for just about everything. Now, it is despised when the Egyptians realize that the dust became lice. And Egyptian priests are very picky when it comes to personal hygiene. They have to be clean. They have to have no blemish on themselves to worship their gods. Having a lice infestation made it impossible to worship their gods because they could not sacrifice the animal that were covered with lice. Have you ever seen lice? It's not pleasant. It's a little tiny thing hopping around really quickly. God has his way to do whatever he wants. Listen, did you notice the Lord did not give Pharaoh any mercy and warning this time or invitation to repent? We shouldn't think that God is unfair when he does not show mercy. If God is totally fair, he would not show mercy to the sinners like us because we don't deserve. Mercy means we are not getting what we deserve. Amen? Fourth plague is a plague of the flies in verse 21 in chapter 8. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send a swarm of flies on you and on your servant, on your people, into your houses. The houses of Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. In that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people tomorrow. This sign shall be. Monday night, we have a prayer time. And at least two, minimum of one, flies constantly hangs around our head. During the prayer time, if you look at them, they will do, while they're praying, they do this. Fly can be annoying, isn't it? According to some scholars, this is a swarm of flies or the horse flies and biting insects. I was told that horse flies are very, very, very much attacking flies. Egyptians had an insect god. They are known as Kepara. And the image of this insect could be found in their tombs because it is supposed to speak of eternal life. You know, I never connected between the insect and the eternal life. They die so quickly. Have you seen the June bugs? And they cannot even walk around properly. I'm sure they're not in love with this, their fly god by now. Now we have first compromise suggested by the Pharaoh, verse 25. Then the Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. In the land, note that. Chris, there's a buzzing sound, a lot of buzzing sound. Pharaoh, being a type of Satan, was offering to Moses first compromise as Satan often offered to us. He suggests to us that you can be a born-again Christian, but you can still do what you used to do, getting drunk, cussing, and watching porno and other fun stuff. God doesn't mind. Really? Does God mind or not? Don't tell me your past sin, but you need to get rid of that past sin. I don't know what it is. Whatever that is, you need to stop. You heard me saying this, and God gave you just warning. Don't continue. But what does our Lord says? 1 John chapter 2, our memory verse, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Way in the back. 1 John chapter 2. Right after 2 Peter, right before 2 John. That helps, right? I'll even give you a page number. 1657. Verse 15 says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Does it mean that you cannot love your God? Love your car? Yeah, you can love your car. Don't let that thing be the object of your worship. Don't let your bank account be the object of love and worship. That's including people. You love your spouse, you love your children, but don't let them be it before God. Do you understand this? God demands a complete separation from the worldliness or carnality. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. He tells us to make up our mind, in or out. Haven't we heard that when we were a kid from mom and dad? In or out. That's what God tells us. Verse 28 in chapter 8. Pharaoh said, I will let you go and that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Now this is second proposal. From the sacrifice in the land in Egypt, now you go to the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. We all have seen the fanatic sports fan on TV, haven't we not? And during the winter time in Minnesota, Minnesota, right? These people are topless, and they paint themselves the blue and yellow color, Viking color. And they're screaming their head off. And then the Green Bay people, they're wearing this cheese head. None of the people, no other people will tell them they are weird. Yeah, they are fanatic, but that's haha, and that's about it. But the same people who doesn't think about those sports fans, the fanaticism, but they, when they come to church, and if you raise your hand in worship, they would think you are crazy and fanatic. Why is that? People going crazy with the sports, that's fine, but people going crazy with the God, that's not right for them. Game, will not last forever. But God is. Our God is eternal, and the ball game is not. It is far better to cling on to what is eternal but not, than the temporal. Here we have temptation to be the borderline believers, trying to stay close to the world and stay close to the Lord at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Now we have a fifth plague, that is a plague of a pestilence in chapter 9, verse 2, please. For if you refuse to let them go, still hold them. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkey, on the camels, and the oxen, and the sheep of very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Stop there, please. This time, it was a disease that affected livestock. The second largest temple that in Egypt was ever built was located in Memphis, and that was for the worship of a black bull Apis. Can you imagine animals, livestock dropping dead left and right? And the whole country is turning into a gigantic slaughterhouse. Yet, livestock of Israel was spared. Note that livestock of Israel was spared. Go down to verse 8, please. Now we see the plague of a boil, sixth plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves a handful of ashes from the furnace, and let the Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become a fine dust in all the land of Egypt. It shall cause a boil that break out in sores on men and beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before the Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. That caused a boil that break out in sores on men and beasts. And the magician could not stand before the Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on magicians and all the Egyptians. The priests of all the religion of the Egypt had to be spotless, as I mentioned. They have to have a clean personal hygiene. They could not sacrifice anything to God, their God, because even their cattle are dying left and right. But God spared the Israeli people, Israeli livestock. Our God, listen carefully, please. Our God hates empty religion that is filled with the meaningless rituals. He'd rather desire the loving relationship that comes from us. If somebody asks you, what is your religion? Tell them you don't have a religion. You hear me? You don't have a religion. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I was asked the same question, I answered that. And the guy who asked me was really annoyed, because he didn't understand the relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you got wet with the clothes on. Doesn't mean anything. Verse 18, please. Now we see the plague of hail, seventh plague. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause... Oh, by the way, just stop there for a moment. Did you notice, did you see the fly right there? Where did the Egyptian got their livestock? All of their livestock were dead with the fifth plague. Where did they get the livestock? They took away from the Israeli people. Verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause a very heavy hail to rain down, such as not seen in Egypt since its founding until now. Verse 19, therefore send now, gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. Same kinds of hail would come down during the Great Tribulation time. According to one scholar, biblical scholar mentioned that the weight of the one single hail is a 75 pound. Think about it. 75 pound solid ice coming down in terminal velocity. Do you think it will destroy a few things? It will go through the house, the roof of the house, like a nothing. But here they have a hailstorm. There's an Egyptian sky god. It's spelled N-U-T. Probably they pronounce it Nut, not Nut. She was powerless because the Lord was displaying his power over her dominion. See, she could not control this God of Israel. I'm sure that word got around the upcoming hailstorm from God of Israel. Many people in Egypt did not believe in God of Israel, and they paid a price for their unbelief. The message God gave to the Egyptian is the same one that he gives to the world today. Whether you believe it or not, his judgment against this world is coming. Some would say it didn't happen all this time, it wasn't going to happen in the future. It means that since it didn't happen all this time, now we have less time to avoid it. In the days of Noah, he warned others, and no one heeded the message. How many people survived in Noah's flood? 8 out of all those people. We are living in the last days. People still don't hear the message. If you hear this today and you are not a born-again Christian, do not harden your heart as in a rebellion, as the Bible says. Listen up. I'm going to be on the soapbox, political soapbox. Bear with me. If Biden becomes the president, 46th president of the United States, abortion will start like there is no tomorrow. And they will have an attack against Christianity. They already declared that. You have to decide. You know, in a way, I pray for the persecution against Christianity. And you're thinking, you are such a sicko. Bear with me. When everything is going well, there are a lot of people who say that they are Christian. If their life is depending on being a Christian, if somebody put the gun in your head, would you deny the Lord Jesus? Or would you say, oh, I was pretending? Would you deny him? Persecution against Christianity will not hurt the church. It will purify the church. It's coming. Some of you may not like me talking about the political things from the pulpit, but I cannot draw the line because my political opinion is the same as because I'm looking at the political view with biblical eyes. So I'm looking at everything with the same eyes that God gave it to me. You tell me, where do we draw the line? We cannot serve God. We shouldn't serve God during the hard time against Christianity. It's coming, folks. Even if President Trump wins for another 4 more years, it will not last forever. This country is not getting better, if you notice. It'll only get worse, matter of time. Be ready. It's coming. Okay. Exodus 9:26, please. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there were no hail. God took care of his own, and the Egyptians' God could not. Chapter 10, verse 4, please. Now we see the plague of locusts. That's the 8th plague. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out in the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your father nor your father's father have seen, since the day they word on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. The judgment of locusts was against their insect gods, as I mentioned. And plague of locusts means any remaining crops were to be destroyed. Have you seen locusts? There is a picture. I don't know what that guy is doing in the middle of this locust storm. And they're often used as a judgment of God. They're found in the book of Joel and Revelation. By now, the land of Egypt would make the battlefield look like a paradise. To make the matter worse, they are going to have a locust that devoured everything in their sight. Whatever the leftover from the hail plague, now they are locusts eating everything. When we continue in our sins, the situation would not only go from the bad to worse, and we can harden our hearts, or we can repent from it and turn to God. Go down to verse 10 of chapter 10, please. Now we see the Pharaoh's third proposal of a compromise. Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and let your little ones go. Be aware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, so you who are men, and serve the Lord, and for that is what you desire." And they were driven out from the Pharaoh's presence. Like a Pharaoh, Satan tells us to compromise our family value and faith. And he said, if you have to be a fanatic Christian, go ahead. But you don't want to make your children to become like them. Let them listen to the metal acid music and watch MTVs, whatever they want. Folks, the best heritage, best inheritance you can give to your children is not money. It's Christian value. So they can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What is a better reward than that you see your children going to heaven with you? How can we enjoy your salvation as a parent when you know that your children are heading to hell? That is what Satan wants us to do, leaving our precious children in the world. If your children are away from the Lord, please do not stop praying for them. Verse 21, now we see the ninth plague, the plague of darkness. Verse 21, chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hands toward the heaven, that there may be the darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, and nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had a light in their dwelling. You might have seen this image, have you? Or just wings with a circle in the middle. That's their sun god. It's known as a Ra, R-A. It's one of the most popular images it can be found in their ruins. God covered their sun god with the darkness, and their god could not do anything about it. Can you imagine? You cannot even see what's anything around you, but you see the light in the Goshen area. For some of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you might laugh at me or other Christians. They are losers. They believe in the stupid things. But you suddenly realize, but at the end of your lives, you will suddenly realize you are the one who are totally isolated in darkness for eternity. And while those Christian fanatics will enjoy the light that comes from God in heaven. So who is the real loser? I don't know where you are with your own salvation. I hope all of you are saved. In case you are not saved, you have to examine your heart. Why not join the God's winning team now? Now here is a fourth proposal of a compromise from Pharaoh. Verse 24, please. Then the Pharaoh called Moses and saying, "Go serve the Lord, only let your flock and your herd be kept back. Let your little one also go with you." But Moses said, you must also give us a sacrifice and burnt offering that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. I love that. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. Stop, please. How often does Satan put the fear in the heart of a Christian and say, you cannot tithe or give an offering to the church. You may not be able to make ends meet. And how are you going to pay your bills? Satan loves to get hold of our material wealth so that we cannot use it for the Lord. All that we have belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I correct? I'm going to ask you a question, but you don't answer me. Do you tithe? Do you give an offering to the Lord? If you do not, you're robbing yourself and you are robbing God. And you may say, well, where do you find it? I'm glad you asked. Malachi chapter 3. Read it by yourself. Matthew chapter 6:21, please. Matthew 6:21. Go there. Don't just sit there. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You're holding tithe back from God. It only showed what kind of heart you have. I have one application for you. Once we start to compromise, there's no end. One compromise will demand another. Soon we will be completely trapped inside of a devil's net. What is the best solution against the compromise? Stay close to Jesus through his word daily. Amen? Let's stand up.